Well, let's ask the Lord to guide us now as we come before his word and as we look at it. Our Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you so much for how it's alive and active. It's powerful. It's eternal. It's your great truth. And we thank you so much that we can spend time now looking at it this morning. So I ask that you guide us and help us. Thank you for how we understand that it is your Spirit who wrote these words and is able to minister to us your word so that it becomes alive in us. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit. And we ask for his work and ministry in our life right now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, being our Father's Day, I thought it would be fitting that we should do a sermon about us dads and granddads, you know, being a good dad, a good granddad. And so I was thinking about what passage should I look at. Now, just before I tell you what we're going to be looking at, I know that there's some ladies in our church, not naming any, who remember a Mother's Day sermon that I did, and how it came from Proverbs chapter 31. And they remember how I gave it, they would say a strong word about how a mother, a woman needs to be the one in Proverbs 31, which pretty much is be a superwoman. She's running the household, running the business, teaching her kids, and in Proverbs 31 it tells us that the husband is sitting at the gate with the elders, Middle Eastern style. All right, and so these certain ladies have been telling me, well, Ian, you need to give a sermon to the men to rev them up so that they don't sit down all the time. You know, they're up and they're busy and they're active, not sitting down. So where's the passage about that? Well, ladies, there's no Proverbs 32. Do you know that? All right. But there are passages in the Bible that help us understand what it looks like to be a dad, a granddad, a man who lives for Jesus, who stands for God, and who is a blessing to his family. And this morning I want to especially look at a patriarch. I'm going to look at this patriarch called Abraham. And I want to show you how in the life of this man Abraham, we see such great things that every man and every dad should be able to model their life on. We're going to see his great faith. We're going to see how he's a good father. And above everything else, he was God's friend. And that changes everything. So I know not everyone is a dad. This message is to dads, but I want it to be to all of us. There are things for all of us to learn. And if you're not a dad, I know that's a privileged position, then, you know, I want you to be aware that still take as much as you can from this message. And for the women in our lives, we need your support. So please, would you listen in and help us to be our good dads and granddads. So I want to begin by looking at Abraham. Before I look at him being a good father, I want us to see how he was a man of faith. In fact, he's well known as a man of great faith. He even makes it into the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And that's because we see Abraham exercising great faith in God so many times. So his story begins in Genesis chapter 12, where God calls him to leave Haran, to go 800 kilometres into a strange land called Canaan. He had no relatives there, no friends, and he's going to this land. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, we read, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. He walked by faith." How would you go with that? Pulling up your roots and leaving your family and heading to a strange land. He did it by faith in obedience to God's call. And there are other times, many times, where you see Abraham's great faith, like in Genesis chapter 15, where Abraham is getting really old now, and his wife Sarah is quite old and unfortunately barren. And God says, promises to Abraham, "You and Sarah are going to have a baby." And what was his response to that? He believed. In Genesis chapter 15 verse 6, it says he believed in the Lord, and God credited to him as righteousness. And that little verse appears in the New Testament as well. But Abraham was not always a man of faith. I want to highlight that to you. He was a man growing in faith, but he never always had faith. And I want to mention to you in Genesis 12, two halves of Genesis 12. First half, great faith. Listening to the call of God, obeying God by faith, going to Canaan. Second half of Genesis 12, totally different story. And I share this with you to give us hope. Our faith is brittle at times. So what happened there? There's a famine in Canaan. Abraham fears that he might die because of a famine. Fear is the opposite to faith. It drives faith away. And instead of consulting God, he decides to come up with his own plan and to go to Egypt, where there was grain. So not talking to God, the man of faith goes to Egypt. Then also, not talking to God, he comes up with a plan. Oh yeah, that's right. If I go to Egypt, my wife is so good looking, they might kill me in order to take my wife to be their wife. And so he says to Sarah, just pretend that you're my sister. All right, you know the story? So you wouldn't believe it, would you? So this is happening, and of all the people in Egypt, it's Pharaoh who takes Abraham's sister, not really, and takes Sarah to be his wife. You've got to be joking, right? So Abraham doesn't die, but he's lost his wife. This is not good. And if it were not for God's gracious intervention, their marriage would have ended. But God did intervene, and Abraham and Sarah came back together, and then they had years of marriage counselling after that. No, I don't know. I reckon it doesn't say that. But I reckon they would have done a lot of talking. And it happens again, by the way. Why did I share that with you? Because Abraham's faith was not always strong. And I think what I learned from all this is that we need to remember that faith is not some sort of static thing. Faith is either growing or dying. And the most important thing that we can do is to make sure our faith is a growing faith. You use the trials of life. You use the triumphs of life to grow your faith. That faith means trusting in God's character, trusting in his promises no matter what, not doing your own thing, but looking to the Lord. And we are to use our trials. Trials are often where God grows our faith. There's a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. It says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God tests your faith to grow it, to make it pure, to make it genuine. So I want to ask us all, including us dads and granddads, is your faith a growing faith? If it's a growing faith, that is fantastic. Praise the Lord. Because I know a growing faith means that you will live your Christian life well. A growing faith causes your Christian life to be lived out well, and that includes being a dad. A man of great faith is a man who's going to be a great dad and a great husband in their home. And how do you grow your faith? I want to just mention this verse. One of the best ways to grow your faith is to be here in church and to hear the word of the Lord. And every day, opening the Bible and reading it and asking the Spirit to teach you. There's a beautiful verse, Romans 10 verse 17. Faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ. So that's one great way to grow your faith. But now let's look at Abraham, how he was a good father. And I want to direct you to the Bible reading we had from Genesis chapter 18, and in particular, verses 17 to 19. So let me read to you now Genesis 18, 17 to 19. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. So what I want to highlight to you here is, do you see God's thoughts towards Abraham? God had chosen Abraham to become a great and mighty nation, to become a people who would be such a blessing to the world, and especially from Abraham would come who? The Christ, the Saviour. What a blessing he would be to the whole world. And in verse 19, we see what God's intention for Abraham was. It was for Abraham to command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord. There is fatherhood at its core. Do you hear what I just said? That is fatherhood at the core. It is to do what Abraham was called to do, to teach your children and your household, even those who are coming up the ranks, the grandchildren, about the Lord and about the ways of the Lord. This is being a good father. It's not just being there to help them through their homework. I remember all that. It's not just being there in the rain, on the sport field, shouting and yelling and encouraging your kids. It's not going on all these fantastic, adventurous holidays, especially with me. Man, my poor kids, just going everywhere. All those things are great. But the greatest thing of all, the core of fatherhood, is that I instill in the children, our children, the ways of the Lord and the Lord himself. That's what we're to do. It's the greatest thing to do. It's so important. And our desire is that we do that so that they might become followers of God too. And especially in regards to Jesus, that they would trust in Jesus and be saved and have a personal relationship with God. And one day we'll be around his throne together forever. I love how in Genesis 18:19, I read about the great patriarch being chosen of God. First of all, commanded of God to teach his children. That was the biggest thing for God to give to Abraham. And I reckon God chose him because he knew Abraham would carry that out. And he did. He was faithful. So fathers, do you teach your children and your household? It's to be your highest priority. That's being a good father. I can only imagine Abraham taking time around the meal table doing that. Or as he walked along the road, teaching his children. Or doing agricultural work, teaching his children. And I also imagine that his children would have seen him conversing with God. Do they see that? Do they not only hear from you, but do they see your relationship with God? That's all part of teaching them. I remember for myself, I used to be in the lounge room reading my Bible in the morning. And I left the door open, and every now and then Amy, Melanie and Heidi would come in. And they would come in, snuggle in and have a look at what Dad's doing. And they knew that, they'd just be for a bit and then they would go. And they would see me reading the Bible and taking notes. Amy, my eldest, she especially took notice of this because I found one day in my Bible, scribble. She hadn't realised that I was writing on a pad, not in my Bible. And so she was trying to copy me. I'm so glad that she was copying. I can always get another Bible. But anyway, I've still got that one. It's very precious. There's the scribble marks in there. I wonder what our kids see in us. Do they hear about Jesus from our lips? Do they see us walking with Jesus each day? Do they hear our prayers? Do they see us studying the Word? This is being a good father. We are to share Jesus with them and shine Jesus to them. And was Abraham always a good father? No. And that's good to see too. We blow it. I'm going to highlight a few things to you. Here's one. He had a second wife called Hagar. And he had a child through Hagar called Ishmael. And there's a bit of trouble in the family. Is this a good father or not? He decides to send Hagar and his son Ishmael into the wilderness, into the desert with rations. They're going to die. That has not been a good father. Were it not for God's gracious intervention, Hagar and Ishmael would have perished. Praise God for how he saves the days all the time. Mind you, there was another story too we might think what he wasn't too good at, and that was when he nearly sacrificed Isaac. But that's a different story. God was testing him. And I want to read to you about that. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, or it's also in Genesis, but in Hebrews chapter 11, 17 to 19, we read these words. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his one and only son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received them back as a type. What that's about is that Abraham was willing to offer up Isaac because he loved God more. And he had such great faith in God's promises that even if he should offer up his son, God would raise him up from the dead. And I want to highlight to you how in that test, God saw into Abraham's heart that Abraham loved God more than anyone or anything else. And that's the most important thing we can do. When we love God more than anyone or anything else, then we will love our children the best we ever could. And we'll love our wife the best we ever could. Because that's what happens when you love God the most. So may we be a good father, love God, and teach our children about Jesus. And now I want to bring up one more point that I reckon flows straight into being a good father and having a great faith, and that is how Abraham was God's friend. And being God's friend blesses and enriches every area of our life. So Genesis 18 contains a most wonderful story. We haven't read it all. The Bible reading didn't cover it all. But we're going to see this most beautiful friendship that God had with Abraham and Abraham had with God. And in James chapter 2 verse 23, it's captured by these words at the end of that verse. It says, Abraham was called the friend of God. So we're going to see in Genesis 18 this great friendship. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 18 and we'll read verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him, and when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And you find as you read this story, these three men who came to Abraham in the heat of the day were none other than the Lord and guess who else? Two angels. Wow, that's pretty amazing. The Lord and two angels come to Abraham. And we find that out as we read through Genesis 18. And in the next verses we read about Abraham's hospitality. He made a meal and the Lord and the two angels ate with Abraham and with Sarah. And they ate. And also the Lord said to Abraham again that next season you and Sarah are going to have a baby. And this is where we read about Sarah laughing at that. And the Lord said, you laughed. And she said, no, I didn't. Fancy saying that to the Lord. Oh, yes, you did. Anyway, because, you know, like she's like 90. She couldn't believe it. Anyway, it all happened. So now what I want to do is I want to read Genesis chapter 18, 16 and 17 to you. Then the men, that's the two angels, rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? What was the Lord about to do? He was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, for their sin had become so grievous to God that God had to act. He's so patient. He gives us opportunity to repent. But it was time for judgment and destruction to come. Those two angels were going to go into the city of Sodom and to see how bad things were before judgment fell. And what God is saying here is, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? That's an amazing verse. God is thinking in his mind, shall I hide from my friend what I'm about to do. And what is so surprising is that God confides in Abraham what he's about to do. That only happens with good friends. Good friends confide in each other. Look at this relationship. Can a man have a relationship like this with God? What's the answer? Yes. And especially so in Jesus. So we read here that God confided in Abraham what he's about to do. So now I'm going to read to you from verse 23 down to verse 32. Because after God showed Abraham what he's about to do, Abraham had a conversation with God. So Genesis 18, 23 to 32. Abraham came near and said, he's talking to God, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" This is Abraham, a human, a lowly human, talking to the Almighty God. What do you think of this conversation? Look what he's saying. He's appealing to God's character, the God of justice. I love this. God answers, verse 26, "So the Lord said, 'If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account.'" Wow! God hears Abraham and responds. If God should find 50 righteous people in a big city, he would spare the city. Verse 27, Abraham replied, "Now behold, I ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." God can do maths. 50 take 5, 45. And look at the humility of Abraham. He's dust and ashes. He knows who he's talking to. And as I'm going through this story, just remember friendship. The friendship of God with man. All right, we keep reading. 29, he spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry. And I shall speak, suppose 30 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Now behold, I ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry. And I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on account of the 10. And as soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed. I wonder where he went. Oh, to heaven. And Abraham returned to his place. We have just read a most incredible relationship and friendship between the living God and a humble man. And I want to say to everyone, not just men here, this is something that we all can have. And especially so in Jesus. And this is the thing that will revolutionize your life and change you completely and cause you to be a shining Christian. And if you're a dad, a great dad. If you're a mum, a great mum. Because living in a relationship like that with God just makes your whole life such a blessing to everyone around you and to the glory of God. I love reading that. It's like I almost feel like I can't believe it can be like that. But then I read in the Bible, in the New Testament, and I see all that what has happened. God has so loved us. Christ's sacrifice has caused us to be completely forgiven if we trust in him. We are completely reconciled. We cannot get closer to God than we are in Jesus. And Christ rose from the dead. He intercedes before the Father on our behalf, and the Holy Spirit has been given into our heart. We are more blessed than Abraham. The door is wide open to explore and to enjoy intimate friendship with God. And to every dad, that's what you need to nurture and grow in, because that will make you a great man of God, a great father. Relationship with God. But that's how it is for all of us, whatever our station in life is. So I find this passage very, very special. And I know for me the best thing I've ever done in my life, not just teaching my kids, was spending time with Jesus, spending time with God my Father, reading His Word and praying, and growing in that beautiful relationship that we are welcome to participate in fully. It's been such a journey, so special, every day. Just pick up your Bible. Ask for God's Spirit to help you understand it. Listen to God as you read His Word and pray. Pour out your heart to God. You know, Abraham poured out his heart to God. That whole thing of pleading for 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom and God wouldn't destroy it. Why is Abraham doing that? Because he knew that his nephew Lot was in that city. He was actually pleading for Lot to be spared. When does the Lord hear me plead? Did He hear me pleading for my children? For my grandchildren? Pleading that they might be saved? That they might walk in the ways of Jesus? When are we real about this? See, Abraham, what a father he is. That's how it's meant to be for us. We pray with heart. We pray with emotion. We plead to the Lord God to do His great things. This is being a Christian. And if you're a dad, this is being a good dad. So may we learn a lot from Abraham. May we be a person of great faith. May we be a good dad or good whatever you are. And may we have a friendship with God. You know, with the friendship with God thing, God was Abraham's friend. I don't know if you picked up on this. God was Abraham's friend. And God's friend was Abraham. He befriends us. Do you get that? It goes both ways. How amazing to think of your own name. You are God's friend if you've come to know Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing together now. The musicians come up. We're going to sing together, O Great God of Highest Heaven.
Thank you. So before you, the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus, we humbly bow our heads. Our Father, we thank you for how you are the great God who has enabled us to be. And you're the great God who has pursued us and has befriended us. It blows our mind away that you've done that. And at great cost to yourself, you allowed our sin to fall on Jesus so that we could be forgiven and restored to you. We love you, Father. And may it be because of your Son, Jesus, may it be that you would hear our prayers every day and that we'd have devotion to your book, that you would speak into our life and help us to be a person alive in the Holy Spirit, being a blessing to you and to all the people around us. I specifically ask for dads and granddads here that you would help us, Lord, because we live in a world that is quite toxic to being a Christian dad. So we ask that you'd help us to be about your business and having right priority in our life, that we might set a good standard in our homes, and especially the name of Jesus would be heard in our homes. Help us to take time each day to have time with you, and also to take time with our children and grandchildren and to teach them the way of Jesus, his love, his beautiful being, and that they might come to love him and know him. I just want to ask right now for pleading with you that you would save our children and grandchildren. Lord, you'd have mercy upon them, that you would call them to yourself, that they would be drawn to you, that they would come to have that beautiful relationship that we have, and that one day they would be around the throne with us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.